May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to take care of the technical stuff first. I understand you tape every sermon. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk about 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. And since neither one of us had the opportunity to read it before, I'll take this moment. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, working as a campus pastor, I asked the college students one day, you think maybe you need a younger person doing this thing, hanging out with the college students? And they all said, no, we like you just like you are. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to get a little older someday, and one of these days I guess I'll be called because the Lord said he wanted me someplace else. But I have the most exciting job in the world, and I can tell you that I have many thorns in my side and pains, especially after last Sunday falling and getting hurt. That wasn't a lot of fun. But by golly, I'm back. And the Lord's strength through my weaknesses that I have as being an old guy. I'm sure that in the past you guys have talked truly about the truly amazing grace. Now, I've heard many people say so many times what grace means to them. Grace means to me the gifts received at Christ's expense. For I have nothing without Christ. Christ gives me all that I am, this life that I am, this life that I get to share with everyone else around me. God's grace is God's undeserved love. We don't want to think like that. We want to think that we're pretty good people. We help other people when we get around to it. We are always wonderful. We always say polite things to people, so that'll get me to heaven, right? No. In our wickedness and in our rebellion, we deserve only eternal punishment and separation from God. But does God treat us as our sins deserve? No. This is God's grace, that undeserved love. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. From Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. Well, in this text that I just read you is about Paul boasting, but not about himself. He's boasting about what Christ has done through him, for him, through him. And it's amazing to think of what God can do. You see, when I was 19 years old, I wanted to go to the seminary. And I'm sure God fell out of the chair laughing about as hard as he possibly could, saying, son, you need to go grow up. You need to find out what life is all about. You need to find out how you can help other people after you learn how to help yourself. Well, the Lord has blessed me with many good friends. I got to go through the very first deacon class with Alan and a few other great guys that helped me learn a little bit more about who I am and what we do. Of course, I didn't have enough. I said, I want to go to seminary like Ron Rather, who was here for a while. And so I thought, well, okay, I'll get there. But I still went a different route to get to the seminary, and I did. But I still felt I had thorns all over me in my sides and my back. And I was still serving the campus students of Kansas State University because I kept remembering as I ached, as I pained, as I came down with cancer, as I defeated it, with Christ's help, of course, I remembered one thing. My grace is sufficient for you. What a great promise. What a great thing to have, the love of Jesus Christ in your life. I get pretty excited sometimes when I talk about Jesus, especially when you're talking to young freshmen who come to Kansas State and you tell them what you want them to know, who Jesus is. Corinthians opens describing a man who is giving wondrous vision of heaven. Paul is not describing just another man, but himself in those opening verses of chapter 12. Verse 7, Paul had seen and experienced a multitude of great revelations from God. And I'm going to tell you, from the time I was 19 until I finally got ordained 44 years later, I was following Moses. Anyway, I found I had a lot of revelations that came to me as well. God did not want Paul to become proud or arrogant. He didn't want me to do the same thing. Paul and I had a lot in common. I understand he had a beard. And he was smarter than me when it got to Jesus. But I know that he is a great role model for me to follow because he was never, ever afraid to speak about Jesus. And I think that's great. Paul's solution to dealing with his thorn was prayer. Paul pleads at least three times with God. God's answer came very clearly to Paul. No. What part of no don't you understand? No, my grace is sufficient for you. The original has sufficient for you is grace. God's undeserved love would satisfy Paul. Now, isn't it really the very same for each one of us? In the weak things of this world, there is found God's great power. We are reminded that faith as small as a mustard seed is able to move mountains. God says something so small and weak can move that which is much bigger than we are. Such is the power of God. The Gospels remind believers that to have a faith like a child is to possess saving faith. The childlike faith is true faith that is trusting and sure and bold. The smallest of a childlike faith is God's strength. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Psalm 8:2. From the lips of infants and children come the praises and are able to silence the enemies of God in the seeming weakness of God's great strength. Lord's strength. Each one of us may recall a time when we were weak, yet the Lord was strong. We may have been physically sick and not inspired to let our light shine with the joy of our salvation. Well, I can tell you, last Sunday I was real sick, but that would take a whole new sermon. And I can tell you that I went through the bone marrow transplant down at KU Med. That would take another sermon. But I can tell you every day, those people had to see a smile on my face. Every day they were going to know that Jesus Christ lives within me, whether I had my cross on or not. And how do they see it? It's what comes out of my mouth and what comes out of my eyes. One short story, and I think I told those at the Bible study, one of the nurses came in after my wife moved back to the Hope House, that I was going to be in this room all by myself for 14 days. And I told her, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. I said, no, I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not going to be in this room by myself. She said, are you taking drugs that we don't know about? I said, no, ma'am. But Jesus is going to sit over there, and I'm going to sit right here. She goes, oh, my God, I forgot. He's a pastor. Well, whether you're pastors or not, when you work with college students, you want to make sure they hear you. You want to make sure you get their attention. So when you get them to that first Bible study, you ask them for their catechism. My what? That's usually what they want. My what? I graduated. No, you don't. You'll never graduate as long as you're a Christian and alive. You've got to have the answer to show and share who you believe in, why you believe in it, or you're going to have more thorns in your sides and back than you're going to care to have. We talked about Ruth at the Sunday school, the Bible study, and how Ruth was invited to get involved. Well, it's my job to get these college students involved in Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection because of what he has done for us. You see, there's four things I teach. And some of those who were at the Bible study already know there's four things I teach my college students. I teach them to drink, steal, swear, and lie. So what do you think? Does that get their attention? You bet. When do we start? And so I tell them every Sunday we come to the table of the Lord and we drink from that cup of salvation. And you steal a moment to tell a friend about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done for you. Tell him about the gospel. But make sure you tell the whole story of the gospel. I remember Professor Gibbs gave me my exiting interview or question before I left the seminary to graduate, get that seal of stamp a seal of approval. And I was really sweating big bullets. And then he asked me a question like, so tell me the gospel. Really? So I told him Jesus was born, he was raised, he died for me on the cross, he was raised from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. And you know what he says next? And? What? And? I'm thinking, I don't want to say and what, because that means I don't know. And then he's going to come back and get us. He said, bingo, that's the best part of the whole thing of the gospel. He not only came, lived, died, and was raised from the dead, but he went and has prepared a room for you and for me and getting those students to hear it. So that's why I tell them to steal a moment, bring, because pastor's going to get there. He's going to get to the gospel that's on his arm and tell you the whole story. This little band has got many more stories that would be a whole sermon in itself. But I would tell you, it's been a great way to break the ice to tell people who Jesus Christ is and what he's done for me and what he can do for you. Oh, wait a minute, wrong word. What he has done for you and what he has done for me. Did I tell you he was born, raised, died on a cross, placed in a tomb, raised from the dead? 40 days later, he ascended into heaven. And? You guys were supposed to get the and part. Promised to return because he's prepared a room for each of us. So what else do you tell them, Pastor? You told them to drink and steal. You want them to swear. Swear every week. They'll do each of those other two at least once a week. And last but not least, when they lie down at night, they give thanks to the good Lord for the opportunity to do the other three. That's why it's important for your kids that are in confirmation. You learn how to drink, steal, swear, and lie. It's right there in the catechism, I'm telling you. And I tell them to look it up. Show me what I'm talking about. And my confirmands have kind of figured out I'm kind of a nutty guy, so now they got to kind of look for what's weird. It's not so weird. It's right there in front of them. The other thing is I go to all the congregations and I tell them, thank you so much for your support through Thrivent. Thrivent has these Thrivent dollars that they donate, they give to the campus ministry. And for the longest time, they were sending it right to Campus Ministry, Kansas State University. And ELCA says, thank you very much. Yeah, you see, they're campus ministry at KSU. We are LCMSU. We want to make sure they understand where it's going to. Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod Campus Ministry. And we want them to know you support us through your dollars, your time, and we appreciate that so very much. Remember, my grace is sufficient for you. I was sick last week, and my biggest worry all week long was, will I be able to be right here with all of you today? And here I am. Because the good Lord said, I'll use your weakness, you old buzzard. You just make sure you get there and tell them what's in your heart and your mind, and I'll guide you to where you need to be. And I'm so thankful that you all had me come out and take Chris's place. I know I can't take Chris's place, but I get to fill in for Chris here while he's filling in for me over at Christ. They need a young pastor now and then too. So it's always good that they're there. It's always to know that the Lord Almighty is our personal strength. The Lord God Almighty is our personal rock. The Lord God Almighty is our only source of eternal salvation, sufficient for us in God's grace. God's amazing grace is absolutely, positively all that we need ever and forever. The world loves to boast about its accomplishments. Many take pride in the wealth they have gathered, but by tomorrow, one's life could be ended. Let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord, who exercises kind justice, righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. That's from Jeremiah 9:24. Boast that you know the Lord. Boast that the Lord knows you. God's grace is undeserved love for us sinners. And I believe it, I am greater than Paul in being a sinner. God's grace is simply amazing. God's undeserved love is absolutely, positively all that we ever need. My grace is sufficient for you. In weakness, the believer uncovers God's strength. In weakness, there is godly, thankful boasting for the strength of God that is ours. Paul's prayer, and I speak, be strengthened with all power according to his glory, might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the righteousness of the saints in the kingdom of light. That's Colossians 11:12. God has qualified you to share in his eternal inheritance, because we remember that sufficient for you is God's grace. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.